to talk to you on the subject of why do bad things happen to good people. We didn't get there yet.
Children
are dismissed. We didn't get there yet, but we're going to be talking about Josiah in our Through the Bible study. And of course, I'm studying ahead, and I've already studied Josiah and then thought about this thing, how tragic it was that you know the story of how he was the best king Israel ever had. He was a great king and loved the Lord. He did all, and then he died prematurely. And you just, big question mark. Why did this, the greatest king Israel ever had? They said there was nobody like him, before him or after him. He kept the Passover, and he kept the Passover, and there was nothing like it ever done since the days of Samuel. That means he did better than Solomon in that area. He did better than David in that area. He did better than Jehoshaphat. He did better than Hezekiah. And yet, he died prematurely. And Lee read the account of how he tragically died with the battle with Sennacherib. And so... What's ironic is that Manasseh, his father, was the worst king Israel ever had, Judah ever had. He reigned the longest. Josiah was the best, and he died at age 39 and reigned for 31 years. Manasseh was 67 when he died, and he reigned 55 years. Well, just an untimely birth. And we could just say, why did God let such a good king die such an early death? And this brings us to the question as to why do bad things happen to good people? Now, I'm going to seek to answer that question this morning. Why do bad things happen to good people? Now, first of all, in answer to that question, let's turn to Romans chapter 3 and see what the Bible says about this. And we're going to try to answer the question as to why do bad things happen to good people. And according to Romans chapter 3 and we'll start at verse 10, says this. It says, as it is written, there is what? None righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh God. They are all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is what?
None
good. None that doeth good. Not one. Jesus said, there's none good. Same thing. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, number one, why do bad things happen to good people? It's because there's no good people. Amen. Now, somebody's good in your estimation, somebody's good in my estimation, but biblically there's nobody that's good. There's nobody perfect. There's nobody sinless. There's nobody that doesn't deserve problems. Our problem is that we really don't understand how deeply sin is ingrained in our being. We have a shallow opinion and understanding of sin. Yet saying this, let me just say, what we mean, most of us, not all of us, but what most of us mean when we say somebody's a good person, is we mean they love the Lord. They try to be godly. They try to do good. And there are a lot of people like that, amen? And we call them good. We call them good. Now, we all know no one's perfect. No one is perfect. So yet, we think some people better than others. Some people are at least trying. Some people are good citizens. Some people are likable people. They don't purposely go around hurting people. They're not trying to do wrong. They've done wrong. You know, they've sinned. All of us sin. Amen? But they're not trying to sin. They don't wake up in the morning saying, boy, what sin can I commit? You know? Who could I hurt today? So those are the kind of people we call good, right? And that's what we mean. But biblically, we need to understand there's none good. Now look it. All have sinned, and the wages of sin is what? Now get this through your thick skull. All of us are going to die. Now, some of us say, well, he died too young, or she died too young, or why is this happening? They didn't live a full life. Now, remember this. The day you sin, you deserve to die. It doesn't say you deserve 60 years, 50 years, 30 years, 20 years, 10 years. The wages of sin is death. It doesn't tell you how, when you, every day you live as a sinner is grace. Is a day you do not deserve. There's a verse in the book of Lamentations. The children of Israel were complaining. Things weren't going good for them. They were in captivity. They were struggling. They were being distressed and distraught. And so Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, says, wherefore doth a living man complain? Lamentations 3:39. Wherefore doth a living man complain for the punishment of his sin? The irony of it is this. The wages of sin is death. Here's somebody who's not dead. He's living. Well, why are you complaining? You're alive. Amen. Our buddy there, what was his name? I'd come in church and he'd be there and he'd say, I'd say, how you doing? How you doing, brother? He'd say, better than I deserve. Chris Rippold. Yeah. Better than I deserve. Every single time. Hey, Chris, how you doing? He died a few years back now. But I'd say, Chris, how you doing? He'd go, better than I deserve, every single time. Meaning he's alive. What's there to complain about? You think a person who's saved, who's loving God, trying to do right, would be protected from bad things. Well, the truth is, we don't know what bad things we're being protected from because usually we just focus on the things that are not going right. But we have no idea how many things could have went wrong, right? That God protected us from. And I think he has many, many times. Though we know there's none that are without sin, and we're all sinners, that we do not deserve the least of God's mercies, we think, and we generally think, there's some benefit in serving God, and there is. The fact there are many benefits. First of all, some of those benefits will be received. Most of those benefits are going to be received after we die. We're going to get, Bible says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, the wonderful things God has in store for us. Now, the truth is, I come to church and we think of that verse, eye hath not seen. I did not see the leaky pipe downstairs. Ear hath not heard. I did not hear the complaint about it. So every single day we're troubled. Every single day we're vexed. Every single day there seems to be problems in this life, right? Jesus said, in this life you shall have what? Tribulation. We're going to have problems. But be of good cheer. This week was a strange week, wasn't it? You know, first of all, electric goes out. And you never know when to kick that generator on because every single time I kick the generator on, the lights come back on. Then I got to go through the hassle of undoing everything I did. So usually I wait a little bit. So I called PPNL. PPNL says, well, expect your electric back tomorrow at 11 p.m. Of course, you never know. They always lie. So that's the company Eric works for. They're always lying. But so I got the generator, and boy, it didn't come back. I went through 15 gallons of fuel, that crazy thing. Just kept pumping away. Now, so we deal with that. And then then my wife and I were sitting eating breakfast the next day, and all of a sudden my cupboards were shaking. Rattle. We said, what's that? The wind blowing so hard it's shaking the whole house. And my wife said, we just had an earthquake. You talk about earthquakes in diverse places. West Clifford, you know, when do you have an earthquake in West Clifford? I was just thinking to myself, you know, we're probably going to start having them with all that fracking that's going on, you know. But it wasn't that. It came out of New Jersey. Can any good thing come out of New Jersey? You know? Filthy Jersey? So we had an earthquake. And then a young man was supposed to, so we don't have electricity. So Tuesday, this young man is supposed to come Wednesday afternoon. I get a call. So my wife are going to meet him down in Dixon City. So we're supposed to meet him. He sends me a note, 3:45. He should be at Viewmont Diner. We're going to buy him lunch. And so we're there, 3:30, 3:45, 4 o'clock, no show. And so Pete, I was wondering if he got shot. Pete was just telling me that there was a wedding planned at a church, and the bride and groom didn't show up. Well, they didn't know. The groom got shot. True story. Sad, isn't it? You never know. I said, wonder if he had an accident. What happened? Then I got a call around 4 o'clock. He was in an accident. Oh, wow. He was at the Lehigh Valley Hospital in Hazleton. And so now I'm trying to call the hospital. I can't get through. And so anyway, this has been a strange week, has it not? See, all your plans, everything you wanted to get done, how many of you got nothing done, you know, because of the power outage, because of this, because of that. And so, you know, this life is going to be full of problems. We're all going to have problems. The fact is, there are benefits for receiving Christ. Most of them come the other side, but there are some here. You will live a better life in this life. I never thought I'd live to be this old. My friends are all dying. All my buddies, most of them are dead. You know, you live a healthier life just by the fact that God tells you how to live. It's going to be a better life, but that you're not guaranteed that bad things are not going to happen to you. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this life, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome this world. In 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, James says that don't be amazed when you fall into diverse temptations and problems. And some say, when you go through all these problems, Peter said, don't shake your head as to some strange thing has happened to you. You know? Why are you surprised that you get that what comes into your life is what God told you will come? Difficulties, problems, trials. We're sinners. As sinners, we deserve death. Is there any easy way to die? I guess if you just drop over. I say, well, I want to die healthy. I like to die healthy. I like to die like Moses died. He was, 140 years old. He goes up to a mountain. He says his eye was not dimmed. Well, first of all, that's a problem because my eye's already dim. And his strength not abated, you know. And he goes up in a mountain and he just falls over. He dies. That's the way I want to die. But is that the way people die? For the most part, no. You know, we have our aches and pains and problems and all the rest. Now, why do bad things happen to good people? First of all, there's Job. You know, think about Job. If there was anybody, in fact, God said he was perfect, outwardly perfect. Now, how many of us can say that? You read about how Job lived. What he did, he said, there was never a person who was sick that I didn't help that I knew about. There was never a stranger that came in that I did not feed. He said, outwardly he was perfect, but yet look at how he suffered. And there's a reason for it, but in the end, if we faint not, God will bring good things out of it, and that's what he did for Job. Now, why do bad things happen to good people? You know, there's, in the book of Kings, you know, we read about Rehoboam. I say he was a real bum. And then Jeroboam, he was really I call him a jerk, Jeroboam. So you got these two bums, and Jeroboam was worse than Rehoboam. And you know what God said? He had a son. And God said, I'm going to take him. He said, listen, he said, I'm going to take that son. He said, because in him there's some good things. You know, sometimes God takes people prematurely because they're good. Why do bad things happen? Now, we look at death as bad. But a person knows the Lord, it's not bad. You know, we cling to every breath of life in this world, but you remember this, the Lord said, I've got some better things for you. Some things where eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, the wonderful things. So we look at it as bad. We look at as these things as bad, but God says this is good. There's some good thing. He told Jeroboam, your son's good, so I'm going to take him because he alone is good in Israel. And I'm going to spare him from some sorrow, some future heartache, some future difficulties that I'm going to put this nation through. I don't want him to go through that because he alone out of Israel is good. So I'm going to take him. Now, we don't understand that. We don't see as God sees. Now, so first of all, let me just clear up the air. There's none good. We're all going to die. Something bad's going to happen to every one of us. It's called death. And it's not pleasant. Don't get angry about it. Prepare for it. This is why we have faith in Jesus Christ. This is what it's about. If this were not true, let's all go home. Amen? If in this life only we have hope, we're of all men miserable. I'm not talking to you about hope in this world. You come to the wrong place. You know? You've come to the wrong place if you think I'm gonna give you hope in this world. Because in this world there's no hope. It's gonna have a bleak end. Bible says in this life only if we have hope, we're of all men most miserable. Let us eat, drink, be merry. Listen, the people that preach hope in this world, you know what they do? They have a bar. They sell drugs. Because the only explanation for is to bury your sorrows in non-reality, in booze and drugs and all that. And folks, that's not hope because that's going to bring you problems too. Amen? When you wake up in the morning, you got a headache. You got other problems. You got to pay the bills. But I've got good news for you. There's hope beyond this world. And whatever problems you've got, Jesus will be with you and he'll help you. It will not. He said, my burden is easy. My yoke is light. He says, when you have me to go through the trials of this world, it'll be easier on you. I'll be with you. Amen? He knows what it is to suffer. In all points like us, he suffered. So why do bad things happen to good people? Because nobody's good. But then, let me give you some other points, as if not that's not the only bad news I've got. Why do good people suffer in this life? Sometimes we suffer because we make wrong decisions. Amen? We make wrong choices. Do you remember, here we have the story of Josiah. And Josiah went out to fight against Necho, Pharaoh Necho. Let me suggest to you, he made a bad decision. We read in 2 Chronicles 31, he was a good king because Josiah was, it says, did right in the sight of the Lord, neither turned to the right nor to the left, but did all walked in the ways of David his father. We read in 2 Chronicles 35, 18, there was nobody like him. Nobody before him or after him. We read in 2 Chronicles 35, 20, that he decides to go to war, go up to Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, who is going to fight against Carchemish. Now, we're going to deal with that in our through the Bible study. We may get there tonight in our through the Bible study. In fact, this is kind of like a little side note to the whole study. So, anyway, after he did all these good things, Pharaoh Necho decides to go up to Carchemish, which is north of Israel, into Syria to help the king of Assyria, who was fighting against the king of Babylon. And the king of Assyria, by the way, Pharaoh went up there, they lost the battle. They lost the battle. Babylon took over Assyria. But anyway, on his way back, Pharaoh Necho takes over, makes Israel or Judah a vassal kingdom. But meanwhile, to prevent Pharaoh Necho from going through the land, you see, Josiah didn't believe anybody was welcome to come through his country. You had to have a permit. In other words, he didn't believe in open borders. He believed that when somebody, an army, a bunch of people just all of a sudden come through his land, he needs to deal with it. Well, the truth was, he was not in a position to deal with it militarily. But he wanted to deal with it. He felt it was the right thing to do. And Josiah was a good king, and he wanted to do what's right. However, we do not read that he inquired of the Lord concerning this. And I think he made a bad decision. That bad decision God knew about, and God's in control, I understand that. But humanly speaking, it looks like he made a bad decision. And in 2 Chronicles, it says this, that Necho sent an ambassador to Josiah and says, I didn't come up to fight with you, Josiah. All I'm doing is going through the land, but again, I'm coming against a house wherewith I have war. And here's what he says, for God commanded me to make haste. He knew Josiah was a religious man. He knew Josiah believed in God. And you know what he said? Your God told me to do this. Now, either he did or he didn't. Forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy thee not. Now, did God tell him to go through? What, now, is it possible that God could speak to an unsaved person? Well, let me just say this. God spoke to Balaam's ass. And God spoke through Balaam's ass. Do you know that the Pharisees, who were unsaved, prophesied that Jesus would die for the sins of the nation? Where did he ever get that? God has amazing ways of working. Amen. Nevertheless, listen to this. I believe God did speak to him. I believe God was giving him a warning. Let me read this. Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him and hearken not to the words of Necho, listen to this, by the mouth of God. So the scripture says God warned him not to do this. Do you see that? God said that he did tell Pharaoh Necho to go through. This was of God, and he was not to meddle with him. But in the Valley of Megiddo, he decides to fight. And in that process, chapter 35, 23, the archer shot at King Josiah. Now, Josephus says that they were losing the battle. And Josiah, being a young man, 39 years old, wanted to really encourage his men to fight because they weren't doing well. So Josiah takes his chariot, puts it right in the middle of the battle to encourage his men to go forward. And Josephus says 300 arrows were shot at Josiah, and only one hit him. Now, I don't know if that's true. That's extra biblical stuff. But Josephus would have been closer to the history than we are. And the tradition says that he did it to muster up his men to be courageous. Well, in the process, he was wounded. He wasn't killed, he was wounded. And then he went to Jerusalem and died. And the king said to his servants, "Have me away, I'm sore wounded." And his servants took him out of the chariot and put him in a second chariot that he had. They brought him to Jerusalem, and he died and was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers. And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. Now, by definition of a good person, we get as close as we ever could be to Josiah. But a bad thing happened to him. So why do bad things happen to good people? Well, we know we're all sinners, we're all going to die. But we don't have to die like this. And the truth is, the reason he died a premature death is because he made a bad decision. People can make bad decisions. God still protected him. 300 arrows, one hits him, and he doesn't die right away. He goes to Jerusalem, he dies. Now, there's another thought about this, is that God had to bring judgment to the nation. And he was not going to bring judgment until Josiah was out of the way. So in the process, God went on with his program. But yet, let me just say a principle here, that when bad things happen to some people, that happens because they made bad decisions. You need to learn to make good decisions. Life's difficult. You know, sometimes you get burnt because you made a bad decision. You know? And we should learn. Brother Jack McKeeby used to say, good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment. What's the old expression? We learn from what? Our mistakes. So sometimes bad things happen to us because we made bad choices. This is why in everything, by prayer and supplications. He did not, as far as I read in Scripture, he didn't pray about this. He just thought he had a principle. The principle was, he's the king, this is my place, there's no open borders here, you got to have permission to come through my property, and I'm going to defend it at all costs. Well, there was no other way for Pharaoh Necho to get to Carchemish but through Israel. And he said, look, God commanded me to do this. Well, either he did or he didn't. But the Bible says he did. He did not heed the warning from the mouth of God, because he didn't believe God could speak through an unsaved person. Listen, there are things we don't know. We ought to check everything out. We ought to be careful. We ought to study. We ought to pray. We ought to seek counsel. And in this case, he made a bad decision. Now, secondly, sometimes bad things happen because we make wrong choices by listening to the wrong people. Amen? Yeah. Listening to the wrong people. I'll give you another story. Let me hold up on that one. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Sometimes we make that bad decisions because we are deceived of the devil. I'll give you an example. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 1, Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number the people of Israel. That was against the Bible. The Bible told the kings not to depend on their numbers. David said to Joab and the rulers, go number the people of Israel from Beersheba to Dan. And then it says in verse 7, God was displeased with this thing and he brought Israel a plague. He smote Israel. And why did that happen? Because David listened to the devil. Do you know, I don't know how it works, but the devil could put thoughts in our minds. The devil could put thoughts in our minds. Do you know, evil thoughts. You know, it's sad. Peter Alexander was saying to me before the service, it's sad, but this young man was killed. He was murdered. He was supposed to get married the next day, and the church didn't know about it. They prepared a meal. They prepared everything, and he didn't show up. And the ladies in the church started griping because he didn't show up. They started thinking evil. The Bible says to think evil of no man. In other words, give it the benefit of the doubt. Give it the benefit of the doubt. In other words, until you know the facts. But isn't it true that our minds work that way? We immediately start thinking evil of people. Who puts those thoughts in our minds? And you know, sometimes they're true. Do you know, sometimes the devil could tell us. The Bible says, don't talk evil about your boss. Because a little bird in the air will whisper in his ear. And who's that little birdie? The devil. Satan can take what you say in secret and reveal it to people in their ear to create problems. First of all, don't listen to the devil, even if it's true, until you know it's true. He plants thoughts in our minds. He does say, in other words, the devil implanted a thought in King David to number the people. And he acted upon it, and bad things happened. Now, number three, good people can be deceived by other people. Let me tell you another story. There was a prophet in 1 Kings 13 and verse 17. This prophet was a good man. He was a good prophet. He loved the Lord, and the Lord gave him a commission. He said, you go over and tell Jeroboam, you know, that jerky bum, you go tell Jeroboam, I'm going to bring judgment against him. And when after you do that, you pronounce a judgment, you pronounce a curse on the altar where he's offering offerings to golden calves and all that. And I'm going to rent the altar. I'm going to do this. But now, you don't go back the way you came. And I don't want you to eat any food in Israel. You go back right to Judah. Don't you stay here. You go back. So he did that, and Jeroboam says, come to my house, I'll feed you, I'll give you a reward. He says, no, I can't, because God said, don't do that. God said, don't come back the same way you went, and go back to Judah, and don't eat bread, don't drink water, go home. So then a prophet, God hadn't spoken to that prophet forever, backslidden prophet, heard about this bold young preacher, bold young prophet that came and rebuked the king. He always wanted to do that, but he didn't have the guts to do it. And he said to his sons, where's this young man? He said, he's over there under an oak tree or somewhere. He said, well, I'm going to go see him. So he goes over there to see him. He says, young man, he says, come home with me and eat dinner. He said, I can't because God told me, don't go back the same way you came. Don't eat food. Don't drink water. You just go home and don't stay in this place. And he said, well, God spoke to me also. Well, that was a big, fat lie. God didn't speak to him, hadn't spoke to him for years. He said, you come home because God spoke to me and told me to tell you to come home and eat with me. And the young prophet, he wanted to hear that because he's hungry. He wanted to hear that because he was thirsty. And that was an encouragement to him. So he went home and ate with that prophet. And in the middle of eating dinner, that prophet, finally God did speak to him. And in the middle of dinner, the prophet said, because you disobeyed the word of the Lord, you're not going to go home. You're going to be killed. Well, thanks a lot. God bless you too. And so he leaves there and gets killed by a lion. And why did it happen? He listened to the wrong people. Listen, folks. When God tells, if anybody speaks contrary to the revealed word of God, they're a liar. Amen. This book is true. All men are liars. If they don't line up with what this book says, they're liars. And listen, when you believe people over God, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. Now, look at, if you get hurt, it's not God's fault. This is why bad things happen to good people. And good people get hurt because they take wrong advice, unbiblical advice. God will never contradict himself. He'll never contradict his known will to do good. He doesn't do that. God's word is not yay and nay. God doesn't say yes and no. God's word is perfect. All right. Now, why do bad things happen to good people? Sometimes they make wrong choices. Sometimes they listen to wrong people. Sometimes they listen to the devil. And sometimes they're sincere, but sincerely wrong. How can we learn to be protected from wrong choices, from the error of deception, which would lead us to hurt? All right. Listen, stay within the hedge that God has placed in your life. Don't get out of his hedge of protection. What is that? Learn to respect the authority of God's word. It says, when you seek, trust the book. Do what the book says. And when they say to you, Isaiah 8, verse 19, seek unto them that have familiar spirits to wizards that peep and mutter. Should not the people seek unto their God for the living? Or for the living, for to the dead? Why should you seek unto these soothsayers to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to the word, it's because there's no light in them. King David failed to respect the word of God when he numbered the people. The young prophet failed to respect the absolute inerrancy of his revealed revelation when he listened to that older lying prophet. Many young men had been destroyed in seminary. That's why I call it cemetery. Because a lot of people were preaching things and teaching things contrary to the word of God. Sometimes we hurt ourselves by violating the human authorities God has given us. Romans 13, I'm going to go through these quick, save time. Some of you know, I hope. If not, get my notes. I'll be happy to give them to you. Romans 13 says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. There's none power but of God. Whoso resisteth the power received to themselves damnation. You never resist the authorities unless those authorities are asking you to do something against the greater authority. That's God. But if it doesn't speak directly against God, do what they say. That's what Jesus said. There's a great preacher. I know he was a great man of God. He's a good man. Had a good ministry. But he did not believe the government had a right to tax him, to tax his ministry. But you know what? So he didn't pay his taxes. He resisted the government. You know what happened? He wound up in jail because he resisted the powers. Now, He may have had a point. He may have had a constitutional point. He may have had all kind of good reasoning. But The scripture says, resist not the power. Submit. Even Jesus said the taxation system was wrong. You know, when the Romans came, they taxed him. He said to Peter, who do the children of this world tax? Their own or strangers? And Peter said, strangers. He said, yeah, that's how crooked the system is. He said, but go fishing and get, hey, get the first fish you catch, pull a coin out of its mouth, and pay my tax and your tax, lest we offend. I had a guy one time said, every time the tax collector comes, I go a-fishing. Yeah, but he don't get any money out of that fish. So Jesus said, I know the system is wrong, but lest we offend. There's a lot of things the government's doing that's just totally corrupt, I know. But look it, we're in this world, we're pilgrims and strangers. We're pilgrims and strangers. Remember the important thing. So anyway, this guy winds up in jail, and a wonderful man of God, a wonderful ministry, is closed down for years because of a principle that was not worth a bean fighting over. Amen? Learn to respect and understand the boundaries of natural law. Read the book of Proverbs. There's physical law, there's natural law, there's human law, there's laws of health. You jump off a roof, you're going to get hurt. You overstrain your body, you're going to get hurt. Sometimes good people suffer because they just made wrong decisions and didn't understand the way things work. Number four, learn to respect to live within the boundary of doing God's absolute work he called you to do. Sometimes you're so busy doing what God told you to do, you're not going to be busy getting involved in trouble. You know, more people would be protected from getting into trouble if they spend less time exploring things they don't need to explore. If you get busy doing the known will of God in your life, you'll be too busy to get in trouble. Now, let me give you an application. Here's poor Josiah. He thinks he's right. He's warned not to go to battle, and he doesn't do it. And he goes to battle. He doesn't take heed the warning, I should say, and he winds up getting hurt. I think he made a bad decision. Now, years ago, I was driving with my son down the road. We were going to move a piano somewhere, and he said, he was young at the time, he said, Dad, how could those little strands of wire keep those horses in? Those horses want to get out. Why? I said, well, they learn to respect the wire after being shocked a couple times, right? Do you know God has placed an electric fence around our lives to protect us? He has placed the electric fence of the Word of God, human authorities, laws of nature, His will for our lives, His work. Do you know you're being protected right now, believe it or not, by coming to church? You are doing what God wants you to do. So there's other things that people getting involved in that's to their hurt that you're not getting involved in because you're doing the right thing. Stay within the fence. But now when the owner of the horse has tamed the horse, trained the horse, there comes a time that he puts the saddle on the horse and he rides the horse outside of the electric fence. He puts his saddle on his servant. You know, he put his saddle on Joshua, called him to fight the Canaanites and defied the laws of nature and the sun stood still. He put his saddle on Moses and rode him out of Egypt when Pharaoh and his mighty army came after him. They were drowned in the Red Sea. He put his saddle on Gideon and told him to fight the Midianites and defied the law of numbers and defeated them. But when everybody tries to stray outside of the electric fence unsaddled by God, they'll suffer. I have a young man that felt he was called to preach. And it's admirable. The Bible says, any man desires the office of bishop, he desires a good thing. And that's admirable that a man wants to surrender his life to preach. He was from a church. They had a nice bus ministry. He was the head of the ministry. He was winning souls for Christ. He's bringing people in, doing a great work for God. But I don't believe he ever had the leadership qualities to be a pastor. I don't ever believe he was pastoral material. I called his preacher and I said, brother, you're making a big mistake encouraging him to go out and minister. Because there was an opportunity to go up to New York and take over a house church that they wanted to start a regular church with. So that preacher sent him up there and I said, you're making a big mistake. He will be more fruitful staying in your church, doing what he's doing, be a deacon, and if God opens the door, maybe sometime in the future, but he's not ready to do this. So the preacher didn't listen to me. So the young man goes up to New York. He gets in that little church. And you know one thing about churches? They'd be perfect if it weren't for people. People are sinners. You know what sinners do? They gossip. They share. They sometimes listen to the devil. They do things like, you know, somebody said to me, Brother Bissell, how have you stayed at the same church 40 years? I said, I have a short memory. I don't remember what people say. It's like water off a duck's back. I'm too busy. I got to go do what I got to do to be entangled with all these little petty things that they're going to take care of themselves. They really will because they're just a bunch of nonsense. Well, this guy couldn't do that. And this he took this to heart, and he took that to heart, and he took this to heart, and he took that to heart. He was bruised and beaten and battered. And you know what happened? He quit that ministry. He took a truck driving job. And then when he took the truck driving job, he had to stay awake. I tell you what, my heart goes out to truck drivers. I don't know how you guys stay awake. Every time I drive, my wife is always waking me up. I said, leave me alone. I'm trying to get some rest. When they get one of these cars that drive themselves, I'm buying it.
No.
I'm going to buy it. I want it. But to keep awake, he started doing these pills. He became addicted. He stopped going to church. To this day, he's a drug addict. His kids are drug addicts. None of them go to church. A wonderful guy doing a wonderful ministry, but he got outside of the fence. He was protected when he was in the fence. Amen? You're protected when you're in the will of God. Don't go outside of the will of God. Amen? Don't get zapped. When we get shocked, we should put it together that we suffer because we got outside of God's program, folks. So this is why good people suffer sometimes because of bad decisions. You know what? You got everything against you. I'm wondering. It's just a miracle anybody sticks to this stuff. Amen? Isn't it amazing? I'm just totally amazed when people love God, serve God, do what they're supposed to do, and stick to this stuff. God bless people that do that. Amen? Because you got everything against you. But praise God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Stick to this stuff. All right. There's an explanation. Trust God. And in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. Let's all stand. Lord, thank you now for the opportunity to share these things with your people. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. I mean by good, people that are trying to do right. None of us are good. We know that. But sometimes people, like King David made a mistake. That prophet made a mistake. Josiah made a mistake. But Lord, we make mistakes. We get zapped, but we should learn from being zapped. By your grace, teach us. Good judgment comes from experience, and experience by bad judgment. Help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and trust you. There's greater things ahead for those that love you. Greater things. Because your word says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard the wonderful things God has in store for them that love him. And teach us to walk by faith. And we'll thank you, Lord, for this in Jesus.